We have come to chapter 3 of the second section, which is the principles of parenting in the Christian family. And we are going to study about reaching children in their own level. Last time when we got together, you remember, we learned about reaching children in their own level, and we went through some facts about Jesus, the master teacher. We understood the ways that he taught the disciples, and we can use the same methods to teach our children. We learned about Maslow's need pyramid and Erikson's stages of physiological development. So we have gone through that, and today we are going to study about or learn about a very practical subject which is actually not very prevalent among Malayalis. The topic itself says, why read aloud to children in a Christian home? Some things look like very silly or very useless, but let me tell you that it all forms a factor in developing a child from the time a child is small to the time that the child grows up. There are so many factors to develop, and as parents, as it says in Proverbs, that you train up a child in the way he should go. So it is upon the parents' responsibility to train and give a proper nourishment through the Word of God and otherwise to their children. Before we go into certain reasons why we should read aloud to children, I want to lead us through some chapters from the Bible, especially from the Old Testament. Now, we all know that the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments by God. And Moses reiterated these commandments in Deuteronomy to the entire nation of Israel. Especially, he starts in chapter 5. He says he called all the Israelite people, and he started saying that, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak to your hearing today." He called them all. He reiterated the commandments, the Ten Commandments of God. And this started in the fifth chapter in Deuteronomy. Now, you understand that this was like about close to 3,400 years ago, the Ten Commandments, and they are still recognized as one of the primary code that you can use for law and order. The primary bedrock, the code that we can still use, it's still very valid for us. While he delivered the law, he did not stop in just mentioning about the Ten Commandments, which he did in chapter 5. But when he goes to chapter 6, Moses told the children of Israel five different things that they should do with the law that he was speaking to them. Five things. Number one, he said you should learn the statutes. Number two, he told them you should teach your children. Number three, he said you should talk about this statutes to your children. Number four, he told them to write them in various places in their home and otherwise. And number five, he told them to practice the statutes that they learned. I want us to go through it together into the Bible and read some verses for us to understand a little more of what Moses meant. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 to 12. I will read out and you please follow in your own Bibles. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers have promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Now, he continues there and says, houses full of good things that you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This was a reading of the New King James Version that we read from verses 1 to 12. Parents who were among the crowd listening to Moses were asked to do two things. About some things. Moses told them, if you read through the passage, he said, number one, you should teach the commandment to your children diligently. Number two, you should talk about these commandments, these statutes, all day long during the activities. Number three, not only during the daytime, but when you lie down on the bed, you should talk about them. Not only talk, it said that you should write them in obvious places like the doorpost. Now, doorpost is some place where you go in and you come out. You can watch and see the commandments, and said you write in prominent places. In the main traffic area, not somewhere in the basement or somewhere up in the attic. Write it down somewhere that they can see that every day when they go in and come out at the doorpost. And also, not only in the doorpost, he said that you should write them in little pieces of material, small materials that is tied to their hands. Or also, this is put in some pouches, on a leather pouch, and they tie it on their forehead. You know, it was that important that the children would, anytime, you know, they can see from the hand or they can take from the forehead, open the pouch, take out the commandment and read it to the children. It was that important. So, basically, door frames within the house, talk about them daytime, nighttime, even have them on their body. That goes to show how important the statutes of the laws were to the children of Israel. Now, God gave these commandments in the form of a book or a tablet. The reason why that he intended that these commandments should be read aloud to the children. And he intended the children to read about these commandments because he wanted them to learn and live according to the commandments. Now, so from this reading we can understand, see, many of the things that are in the Old Testament are also applicable to us in the New Testament days. So if God was so concerned that the children and the grandchildren should know about the statutes, how much more should we be careful to let our children understand the deep truths, especially the Word of God? How much should we play an emphasis there? Now, this was not really meant for the children in the wilderness. I mean, the instruction of understanding the commandment of God was followed throughout the scripture. Let's take one more verse. In the book of Nehemiah, when the Israelites returned back from the captivity, they all called together and Ezra, the priest, read the word of God to them. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah and chapter 8. Again, I want to read some verses. It's always good to read verses from the Bible. Chapter 8 and verses 1 to 10. Now, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square. that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So everybody was paying close attention when Ezra the scribe was reading out the words of the law to the people. Verse number 4. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for this purpose, and beside him at the right hand stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urizah, Hilkiah, Masaiah, and on his left hand Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashum, Hashbandana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people. It was not a closed door. It was an open square. He is standing on a platform. He opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was standing above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. Now listen, understand this one thing. The reverence for the word of God. The scribe, the priest, opened the book in the sight of everyone. And when he opened, you know what the people did? Nobody said, hey, let's stand up. Nobody told them. When they saw the priest opening the scribe, opening the word of God, they all stood up in reverence to the word of God. And then what it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Now here, see, they lifted up their hands and they said, Amen. And Ezra blessed the Lord. And then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now look at this. The people stood up in reverence to the reading of the word. And then they said they worshipped how? How did they worship? They went on to the ground with their faces. You know, our face is the most elevated part of our body. When you stand up, your hands are not the ones that is the top. Your face is the top. This shows your total stature. I mean, your greatness is what is reflected by your head. And the people, they said, they worship God how? They bow to the ground with their faces on the ground. Look at the humility of the people in the sight of God. You know, the God has not changed. He is still the same God. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. But what has changed is our humility. And the way we do things, that is the one that has changed. And we need to understand that when we do a lot of things, we need to understand that the God is the same God before whom everybody bows down. See here, they bow their heads and they worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then down below, it says that some of the Levites helped the people to understand. Now, once the reading of the word of God was done, in verse number 7, you see the names of some Levites. It says that they helped the people to understand the law. Sometimes this law and the word of God is too profound. And that is one of the reasons you have pastors, you have teachers who help you to understand. That is our role. To help you to understand the word of God and what it means for your practical life. Unless Christianity is practical, whatever we do is useless. Because God doesn't just see us only on a Sunday morning. He sees us on a Monday, He sees us on a Tuesday. Throughout the week, the Lord's eyes are upon us. And that is why Jesus could see the hypocrites and He said, "You hypocrites. Because you are trying to cheat God, God can see what you are doing. God can even know the thoughts that you are thinking." And here, he says that the people could help, these Levites, the scribes helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in the place. They stood. Now understand, we are so tired. I mean, we cannot even stand sometimes to worship God. It seemed that they, you know how long they stood? Let me tell you. This is some of the revelation that God showed to me. You know how long they stood? How long did they stand? From the morning to noon, they all stood up. They did not sit down in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. They were the same human people. Don't you think they felt tired? But the reverence that they gave to before God, they stood up and they read distinctly from the book, the law of the Lord, and they gave the sense and helped people to understand the reading of the Word of God. So people could understand the reading of the Word of God and they all stood up in reverence. That was the reverence that they were giving to God. Many times we are not even reverent in within the church. Lay aside outside the church, we are not even reverent to God within the church. It says that the people, they all stood up and the Levites gave a sense and helped them to understand with the reading. And then down below it says that Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Look at the response of the people. When they heard the reading of the law and the commandments, it says that the people wept. You know why they wept? That is the feeling that you should get when you are in the presence of God. You should feel your unworthiness. You should have a distinct image that we are unworthy. Santosh, isn't it true? How much do we even think about it, if we are unworthy or not? We need to understand our unworthiness. When Isaiah, you know, when do we understand the unworthiness? When you understand and sense the presence of God. One of the problems with us, let me tell you, we don't sense the presence of God when we are worshipping Him. We are doing it out of a routine. It's grown down to a routine thing. Our worship, our prayer, everything is like a memorized routine thing that we are doing it. But it should come out from a sense of a deep understanding of the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, the people wept, it says. When Isaiah, stood before God's presence in Isaiah chapter 6, you know what? What was the first reaction that Isaiah had when he saw the glory of God? He said, "Lo, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people." That is the reaction that we need to get when we are in the presence of God. It says, "For all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord." And then what he said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portion to whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We read from Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1 to 10. Can someone please pass on the papers also to the ones who came new? So we understand that the reading of the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God is very important. It's so important for us to understand that as we read in this portion in Nehemiah, it says that they stood. Some of the points that I really liked was they stood from morning. All the morning, from the morning till the noon, they were all standing up before the reading of the God's Word. Number two, they were attentive. Because unless you are attentive, you cannot understand the Word of God. I see sometimes, even I do translations in the church, I see people talking when the sermon is being said. Are you attentive? Do you understand that the Word of God is being spoken to you? We need to be very attentive to listen to the Word of God. The third is they worshipped. They bowed their faces to the ground and they worshipped. That is a sense of when you understand the presence of God. And then the Levites, they explained to the people and they understood. And after listening, they had the conviction in their heart. They started weeping. The people felt that they were not justified and they were not doing right what God wanted there. But then Nehemiah said, "See, it's good to come and repent before God. It's good to get conviction. But then we need to understand that God can take away our sins. We don't need to remain in that state of unworthiness, because God makes us worthy. In every stage, In our life, you see, even in the, let me come back to the example of Isaiah. When he felt that he was unworthy, what did God do? Brother Nielsen, what did God do when Isaiah felt that he was unworthy before God? He said, no, what did God do for that? He took a coal and put it on his lips and said, now you are cleansed. And then God asked, who shall go for me? Whom shall I send? And there was Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord, send me. You know, the thing that should happen in our lives is when we hear the word of God, understand that God is speaking to us. Take it in your heart. There has to be a response. And then you should go out of the church and do the work of God. Many times we hear so much. We have a lot of head knowledge, but nothing is in the heart, and there is no real action in our lives. We need to change all that. So let me come back here. The reading of the word of God was not limited to the Old Testament. When we come down to the New Testament, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Let's all open our Bibles, those who have brought it. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. We see here that Jesus himself, the Son of God, the living Word, the Word of God incarnate, you know, Jesus, he picks up the Word of God. Now, this is something that we need to have an understanding. The living Word, it says in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was literally the Word. He was a living Word, incarnate in the flesh, in the form of a man. It says in chapter 4 and verse 16 onwards, here it says, he came up to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So Jesus, as his custom was, I mean, Jesus was a regular church goer. Okay, if anybody says that Jesus was skipping church, no. As was his custom. As his custom was, as he used to do every week, Jesus went on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue and stood up to read. It says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says in verse number 20, and he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. So, a portion of Jesus, a segment of Jesus' life on one Sabbath, we do not know when exactly he went there, we do not know the exact date and time and everything. But it says, as his custom was, one time, he got a chance to read the Word of God. And it says that he found the place. Now look here. Jesus was not like closed his eyes and say, oh, okay, let me have a word from you, and he opened the Bible like this. No. What is it written in your Bible? Look in Malayalam Bible. Is it different from the English? What is it written? Jesus found the place. How can you found a place if you don't know about it? He constantly used to read the Word of God. He found a place. Sometimes, the other day, let me not say that. Sometimes when we are asked, we don't even know where some of the books of the Bible are located. A quick Bible reading, you say about a book called Zechariah, you are looking at the New Testament. We need to understand every book and where the Bible passages is only when we read the Word of God. I don't know in our personal life how much time you take to read the Word of God. But this is so important. This is what Jesus mentioned, give us this day our daily bread. This is the bread of God for our inner man, the Word of God. Now Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, but he read the Word of God aloud. And then, you know, I will tell you that why do I think that Jesus was very much of a reader of the scriptures, because at the age of 12, if you look, let's turn to that passage, Luke chapter 2, when he went to the temple, when he was just 12 years old, he's not very big now, he's just a kid, and he is going to the temple to the with his parents. Look here, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 46. After 3 days, we are seeing about Luke 2:46. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple. He was sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And when they heard, this is the thing that we should, when they heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. They were amazed about a 12-year-old boy who had such a good grasp of the scriptures, had such a good understanding of the word of God. You know why? Now let me tell you, 12 years. How old was Jesus when he could at least understand things? I think maybe 6, 7 years. Who actually put in the practice of giving the word of God to Jesus? I think, this is my inference, it's not in the Bible. I think his parents, Joseph and Mary, took pains to introduce Jesus to the scriptures and used to read aloud to him when he was a kid. So when he grew up, he had that love for the scriptures, and I believe that he must have been reading so much that he had a very good understanding. If you look at the four gospels, you know, so many times Jesus has quoted scriptures. In fact, when he had the temptation after the 40 days fasting, he quoted nothing but scriptures to Satan. Jesus was very well versed with the scripture reading. He read aloud to the Nazarenes, we know. In Nazarenes, he read aloud. And so this written word was of a great importance. And I want to put a pause here in the lesson today, and we will continue over in the next class. God's word has been given to us in the form of a book. This Bible is not to be kept in the top of the shelf, to be dusted back and brought back on a Sunday morning. In fact, this word has to be so important to us, it should form our daily reading and meditation. Not only reading, I believe that the Lord wants us to meditate on the word of God. We are so busy in our life, we cannot fathom and find time to meditate. We not only read. God wants us to meditate in the word of God too. Because God wants to speak to us through the word. That is the intention. God speaks to you. God does not only speak on a Sunday morning, let me tell you. He speaks every day. He doesn't only speak through prophets, let me tell you. He speaks directly through your word, through the word. God will talk to you directly. But are we willing to listen? If we are not willing to listen, let us not say, hey, you know, God is not speaking to me. I don't hear anything. I don't see any activity of God. Because we are hardly even spending time to read and meditate on the word of God. I want us to think about this. After we go back from our class, don't forget this place. Don't just listen here and just think about it. Let it, like the chewing of the cud, you know, the cow that eats the food, it sits back and it chews on that cud. Just chew on what you heard. Is it right? I just read to you the scriptures. It's nothing from me. Look at the reaction of the Israelites when Moses read it to them. Look at the reaction of the people who returned from captivity when Ezra the scribe read the word to all the people. Look at the reaction. Look at the reverence to the word of God. Look at the importance that Moses placed how you should treat the word of God. You should read it to your children. You should pass the understanding of the word of God to your children. I want us to close our eyes for a minute. Whenever we hear a word of God, we need to respond to that. And I want you to respond to the word of God in your own way. I'm not asking you to say anything aloud. You don't have to say a thing to me. Start talking to your Heavenly Father for a minute. Look at your own personal life, your family life. You have put so many things in your plate. Have you put God out of the whole picture? your work, the things that you are put in the everyday plate, that you are so many activities, we are involved in so many activities. How much time do we set apart to read the Word of God? Simple thing. Read. Meditate. Have God speak to us with the Word. I want us to take a decision. I know we have taken a lot of decisions many times. Take a decision, Lord, every day at least once I will read. You don't have to read a whole chapter. Take a small one or two verses and meditate on that. Think about it. Ask God, Lord, you talk to me through these words. And let God talk to each one of us. Take a decision. Don't go from here without a decision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. In the stillness of this hour, in the Sunday school class, Lord, you spoke us the importance of reading and meditating on your word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. The psalmist says, I have desired your word more than my necessary food. Your word, Lord, is more to us than anything we can think about. I pray for each one of us, Lord. Help us to understand the importance of your word. Help us to understand that this is the growth of our inner man, and we need to grow in you, that you speak to us. I pray that you add your blessings upon each one of our lives. Bless our families. Bless our spiritual life. Continue to use us for your glory. I want to thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.